school. This is what they do. And you connect the dots.
You grew up in Pakistan.
In Pakistan. And I narrate that story in the book in amazing detail. They go against the press. That is the history of all autocratic, all dictators. They go against the press. They malign them. I witnessed with my own eyes burning of the press because they printed something critical of the general, of the military leader, of the dictator. Second thing they do, people's representative in the assemblies are no good. They ought to be thrown out. Only my people will govern the country. They malign the people's representative assemblies. Look what is taking place in the United States today by this president. Then they go after the rule of law. These judges are no good. I will appoint the judges. You connect the dots. Our democracy is under attack, not only from outside, but from inside. I was witness to when Soviet Union disintegrated, and I tell that story in our book in detail, that they have not forgotten the grudge. America, rightly so, because I was witness to it, rightly so, America supported the disintegration of Soviet Union. So the attack from outside and this divisive president, divisive White House, this is a collection of incompetence. John Kelly was Secretary of Homeland, implementing, supporting the illegal, unconstitutional executive orders of this president, which are in the courts. I stood then with the goodness of America. I stand now. I have submitted two briefs. First in the Ninth Circuit against the executive orders, and one in the Supreme Court against the executive orders banning Muslims and all of this. This incompetency is so visible now, not only to us, but look what is taking place in these couple of weeks. The Republican leadership, the moderate, the most honorable members of our elected officials are separating from this president and his policies. So this is what happened. That candidate became president, and look, we are at the direction of this country is as if there is no direction. We are going every which way, everywhere.
I wanted to ask you, in your book, you talk about your first exposure to American principles of democracy. You were in a market in Lahore, and you came across an old beat-up copy of the U.S. Constitution. And could you talk about that and how that affected your viewpoint and then eventually resulted in your family immigrating to the United States in 1980?
We tell that story in our book, but by the way, the purpose of writing this book was to not only tell this story, but to support a scholarship, which is funded from the proceeds of this book at University of Virginia under the name of Captain Humayun Khan Scholarship Fund. So that's a side issue. But I was 22 years old. I was in second year of law school. I had taken a course, Comparative Studies of the World Constitution. Four constitutions were included in that course. Constitution of Soviet Union, yes, Soviet Union, which is Russia now. Germany, Magna Carta, foundation of the British system, and Constitution of United States. So I got the materials, and the very first document sitting on top of these materials, title, Declaration of Independence. I casually looked at it, placed the materials on the side of my dorm room metal desk in Lahore. I said, Declaration of Independence? Independence is gained, given, bestowed. You struggle for, so you're colonists, feels mercy and said, I had enough of this nation, we will grant them independence. But what are those people that declare their independence? Wow. I'm still, even today, I am in awe of that sentiment, what I had when I looked at the word Declaration of Independence. I continued to read it, and all 1,338 words in one standing, I took my shoes off because my feet were hurting. I was standing and reading. It's a little difficult English for me. I was trying to understand all of it. Amazing awe, and I still remain in awe of it. I did not do too well in that course because I was so focused on these three documents, because next one was Articles, and thereafter were the Bill of Rights. It all made so much sense, and that is the story that we tell, and through these two books, we are trying to present it to America, to my great, I am as a grateful citizen of this, most humble, modest, and grateful citizen, I'm trying to present to my nation is that these values, these principles are worth standing for. And I pay tribute to Democracy Now! And your effort, Voice of Democracy. Democracy was amazingly expanded throughout last century. Smaller nation, rest of the world saw the dignity in democracy, and they were incorporating these principles. Those who do not like democracy, meaning authoritarian mentality, meaning the mentality like Donald Trump, mentality like Putin and others, decided to attack democracy. Our values of human dignity, what is our election system? It's equal dignity for all. That when we go to vote, nobody says you're better, you're less, we are all equal.
So, Khizr Khan, how did you end up coming to the country and getting your citizenship the same year as your son got his citizenship?
Yeah. I was a person of modest mean with that love of these documents in heart. I could only dream at that time when I was 22, when I read the Declaration of Independence, that maybe one day I'll go and see what kind of people are these. They declared their independence, and then I read the Articles. That is rule of law. Then I read the Declaration, the Constitution, the amendments, the Bill of Rights. These are human dignities. Every human being that is on this planet Earth aspires to have those dignities and freedoms. Wow. These are written. These are part of principles of this nation. So I had that dream, but I had no means to come here. I went to Dubai to work so that I could gather enough funds, and I had amazing interaction with Americans that I'll explain
you
further.
You worked for an oil company there for a time,
for an
right?
oil company, and we tell this whole journey in this book. Amazing interaction. I was in Dubai. I had rented a room, bare room, no window, just four walls and a roof from a cab driver, because I couldn't afford. I went there empty-handed, empty pocket, from this cabbie for 2 days because I was to report for duty on Monday. So I go to work for Monday, and this my first interaction with America is taking place now. I entered the office of that oil company, and my boss comes, and we go to his office, and he's explaining piles of files and what my work is going to be and all that. And he looks at me second time. He said, Khizr, you look tired. Where have you been sleeping? Where have you been staying? I didn't tell him, but I told him that I have rented a room and all that. What was taking place there for 2 days, I was sleeping on the floor with my suitcase, my pillow, and my towel as my bed sheet. Two nights. And I tell that story to honor my readers and to honor our audience, to tell that all of that difficulty was worth coming to this nation. He looks at me, he said, picks up his phone and calls somebody. And within 30 minutes, his blessed wife is there. And he says to me, he said, Khizr, let's go. and said, where are we going? He said, we want you to go your home. And I was just taken aback that, what home? I don't have a home. I just have a room and a floor and four walls and my towel. So they took me to a fully furnished one-bedroom apartment. And we walked in. I was awestruck at the generosity of these people, two of them. It had everything that a person would need. Towels, bed sheets. I have never seen so many pillows on the bed ever in my life. Spoons, forks, plates. And then she opened the fridge. She said, there's some bread and butter and jam for you to eat and all that. And we will see you tomorrow. Please rest. I remain so humbled, so grateful for that moment, that even today, after so many years with having so many blessings in life and all that, that very moment from seeing the generosity of America, this person became symbol of America for me.
I wanted to ask you, when eventually you come to the United States, you end up at Harvard Law School, and your impression of your classmates at Harvard was not as in the same vein as those first Americans you met. And you write in your book, I was a child of the proletariat, of post-colonialism, of people who had to work in order to eat, who understood viscerally that the rich and powerful lived differently from the rest of us because I had suffered their edicts and whims. And a lot of the people with you at Harvard Law School were from that elite of America.
They sat next to me, brother of a president of a country. I explained that experience detail-wise in the book. It was amazingly dignified class and classmates and all that, but I was there, but I wasn't there. So I became known to the professors and to my classmates as a socialist voice, because I always spoke against the